I realize that you cannot stand me. That you think that I am dirty. You think that I am unworthy. I hear your gossips and I hear your whispers. Don't you think I can hear you? Or maybe you don't care. Every day I come to this well at the hottest time of the day, rather than wait for the cool of the day, just to avoid all of you. But today I came to find you, to tell you about a rabbi that I met, a Jew. And he told me everything I had ever done in my life. A Jew spoke to me, a Samaritan, a woman, right? I mean, according to Jewish laws, Jewish leaders, they don't even speak to their own women. But he spoke to me. He asked me for a drink of water. And I have to admit, I was being a bit skeptical when I said, "And how do you plan on giving me this drink of water? You don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. The well is really deep." And he said to me, "The water that I give is not like your water. It is living water. And whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again, for it will become like a fresh, bubbling, continuous spring within them, giving you eternal life." And I said, "Yes, give me some of that water. Please, sir." Do you know what struck me about that conversation? This rabbi spoke to me, as if I was a person, an equal, as if he was willing to accept me as is. And of course, I thought, sure, he clearly knows nothing about me. But I couldn't be more wrong. He actually knew everything before I said anything. He asked me, "Go and find your husband." And me not wanting to reveal my shame, I said, "I do not have a husband." And he said, "You are right when you say you do not have a husband. You've had five husbands. And the one you're living with now is not your husband." How? How? How did he know this? It was like he slapped me in my face with the truth. And it wasn't to hurt me. No. It was to free me. Isn't that what the truth does? It frees us. As you can imagine, I sat there in this awkward silence, and I wanted the earth to swallow me whole. So I did what any respectful person in my situation, you know, been caught, I did what any person in my situation would do. And I changed the subject. I did. I said, "You Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place that we can worship. And my forefathers said that we can worship right here on this mountain." I sounded like an idiot. But he answered me with such compassion that it gave me worth. He said, "It doesn't matter where you worship. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. These are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks." And that hit me. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and I have not been truthful. No, you see, I've told myself that I've had to make the decisions I've made in my life, that God could never love someone like me. But that is not true. I've even told myself that I don't care what you think of me. And that is not the truth. Can I be truthful with you?
Amen.
I judge you just as much as you've judged me. And finally, I said, Rabbi, when the Messiah returns, listen, he'll explain all of this to us. And he said, I am the Messiah. The Messiah. God himself came for me?
Amen.
The nobody? The one that everybody hated, the adulterer, the Messiah came for me, and I ran to tell you that the Messiah has come for you too. You see, the hope that you've been waiting for, all the answers that you have been looking for, your Messiah has come for you today.
Yes, this woman, riddled with dots of shame, dots of rejection, guilt, she's an outcast, she's sinful, but she comes in contact with Jesus. How many of you know things were going to change? Those dots would never be the same. I am Pastor Ibai, and I am so glad that you all have joined us today. I want to thank you for coming and being in person with us, but I also want to thank those of you who have joined us online. Thank you for continuing to be with us in this series that we're in now called The Dot. Now, before I get started, I just want to cover these things real quick. We have prepared notes for you so that as we go through the message, you can write on your notes. You can do all of that. So if you are here and you have our app, feel free to pull that up and the notes are there for you. If you're here and you don't have the Miami Vineyard app, there's a QR code right there in front of you behind the seat. Right there on that seat in front of you, and you can just put your phone there and access that app. And then those of you who are online, we serve. That's who we are. So there are hosts that are there that can help you also get those notes. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something that might seem a little strange or peculiar for a pastor to ask. But I'm going to ask you that as we go into this message and as we walk through it, that you will stay with me, that you will be right here with me throughout this time. The reason being is because I'm going to be very vulnerable with you today. I am going to be very transparent in places that I have been, and I'm going to share that with you. It hasn't been easy for me this week. Because I had to deal with some things. Some things God had to bring back to my remembrance. But can I tell you that it's all good? See, vulnerability and transparency is not always a bad thing. Because I believe in those places our hearts can connect. Not only can our hearts connect, but we get to glorify our God because of what we share together. We all have stories, don't we? And most of them, we can say, have been redemptive stories through our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you to do that with me today. And so those of you who are online, I just want you to type in, I'm here. Just let me know that you're going to do that with me. So before I get deep into my story, deep into the scriptures, can we pray?
Amen.
Father God, I thank you. I love you. We love you, Lord. We love that we get to do this. We get to come together and we go into your word and we see you again. and we see you differently, and you speak to us right where we are. So, Father, I ask that you speak in me and through me. Let me honor your word, Lord. And as your word says, it won't return unto you void. God, you will, and you always do. Your spirit meets us right where we are. So I say, Holy Spirit, come. We need you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The topic of my message today is, I will lift you up. Can we do this for one another? No matter what our dots are, some dots have come through choices that we made, if we really want to be honest. Some dots are through experiences that we've had. And then there are some dots that we have from labels that people have put on us. But I believe that the only way that we can lift each other up is to be imitators of God. That dot is the biggest dot. That we make a decision that we will be imitators of God. That we will copy what he does. And we will walk out what he says. The scripture says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial, fragrant offering to God. So let's go into this story. Now you will see that I have the whole verse there for you, but I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to go in John 4 and read that entire chapter. It's a beautiful story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And I think, and I believe, and I'm so grateful that Stephanie Coates did an amazing job in telling this story. So because she did such a great job, I'm not going to read everything there for you, but I want to encourage you to go in and read it on your own. But I do want to highlight something that is there. It says that he had to go through Samaria. Now, let me give you a little backstory on that. Assyria had seized the northern part of Israel, and Samaria was in that area. And they took the Israelites captive, and they spread some of them out. Some escaped and went to Judah, which was the southern part. But then you had those who remained. So the Assyrian king began to bring in other races of people into Samaria. And because of that, there was an intermarrying that began to happen. And in that place, they began to also worship other gods. Well, the Jews who had escaped and the Jews that were in all these other places, they began to look down on these Samaritans because they said, "You're not pure. You're mixed breed. You worship other gods." So they thought that they were dirty. They thought that they were an insult to their race. So you see, Jesus, it says that he had to go through Samaria. Most of the time, Jews would go all the way around Samaria just to avoid the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with them. But Jesus, with intentionality, he was going to go through Samaria. You see, he on purpose and with purpose knew that this woman was going to be at that well. She knew her dots. She had already experienced rejection. She knew that people avoided her on purpose. She experienced judgment and disdain. And all of these places that she had been because of her dots taught her a behavior. Are you willing to admit that some of our dots have taught us certain behaviors? It teaches us certain things. And so in this place of knowing what people would do to avoid all the others, She decided that she would go to this well only at noon. But she didn't know on this day Jesus would meet her there. See, the verse states that he had to go to Samaria. Jesus was willing to go into this place to confront what had existed far too long. He was there to confront a sin that has separated people. And they had forgotten that all of them had been created in the image and the likeness of God. He came there to confront a sin that had caused people to worship other gods. And he came to confront a sin that made a woman go look for love in all the wrong places. Jesus knew her dots, but he had come in to redeem. What had been taken, Jesus came in there to redeem with grace. He came to offer grace in this place. See, in the Word of God, it says that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Yes. Yes. And so in this place, Jesus was coming to offer that to her and to a people. Now, Pastor Kevin introduced the word to us last weekend. And the word is gracism. Y'all remember that? Amen. And yeah, it's a made-up word, but it's a word that we're hoping you can add to your vocabulary. Because you see, what gracism is that we take the negativity of racism, and then we place on that the glorious grace of God. And then from that emerges us leading other people to intentionally offer favor to the marginalized. This gracism upon us will not exclude but include others. It will teach us and show us how to love those who have been ostracized. It will help us to embrace those who are rejected, discriminated against, and devalued. See, point number one, gracism is intentional. It has a purpose. See, Jesus had a purpose, and he walked in there with one. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, I want you to know I'm not here to point fingers. I told you I was going to be very vulnerable with you. Well, part of this is of this story is a part of mine where I have to tell you that I, myself, at one time in my life, I was very prejudiced. My heart was so tattered with prejudices against other people. But I know that this was a result of the experiences that I had had of rejection, of discrimination. I was called out of my name. I actually went to a job opportunity. They had already told me I was a good candidate. I walked up in there and they looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, but the position has been filled." Y'all, I'm not making this up. It's not something that I imagined. I lived in this place. And what began to happen, it began to affect my heart. My heart began to become hardened. It began to become bitter. Anger was there, pain was there, resentment. And can I tell you this? I had not always been that way. See, I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a pastor. And so he had taught us, love everyone, embrace all races, find the value in everyone. I was raised that way, but life. But life. And can I ask you, can we learn how to embrace each other's stories? Can we not dismiss them or discredit them? Can we understand that when we share these stories, they are real? And we as believers, we need to learn how to sit with each other in these stories. But don't discredit them, lift them up. And even when you don't understand them, can you just validate them? Yeah. So I am not coming to you as a victim. No, I'm coming to share with you what God did inside of me. I am redeemed. by Jesus Christ. But you know, even as believers, we can have some blind spots in our behaviors and our perceptions of others. I was so blinded by my dots that I felt justified where I was. But you know what? Maybe you haven't had an experience with racism, but maybe you've been discriminated because of your age. They have this thing called ageism. You all heard of that? Maybe you have a disability and a label was placed on you. Maybe you even struggle with the English language and people look at you like you should be better than that. But regardless of what you have experienced, can we all agree that it hurts? Pain comes in those places. And so I responded in my pain in a very different way. Prejudices began to come up and the walls began to form. They formed around my heart and it led me to lies. Lies that I began to believe. And y'all, can I tell you that those places will bring you to such a low place? I was so low until I began to believe the lies. And I said this to my children, and I'm not proud of this, y'all. I said to my kids, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have friends of other races and ethnicities. This is okay. You can even go to church with them. But don't marry them. I know, that's horrible. But I had gotten that low. I said, you need to keep our race pure. But let me show you something. Let me show you something. I love genealogy. I love history. And I love looking at my ancestry. So I'm a big, I just love it all. Well, this is my 23andMe. I told my kids, I want to keep my race pure. Yeah. Now there is a dominant color, but there's no one set color, is it? I got splashes of every kind of color up there. Huh? But in that center, it says IP. That's Ibaye Paris. That is the creation of God. And in him, 100%, I am perfect. But I am only perfect when I recognize that we're all good together. You understand? He fearfully and he wonderfully made me. I believe that what it says in Psalm 139, this is what it says. It says that he knew me before I was even formed in my mother's womb. You see, he took his time and he knit me together and he put all of those different splashes of color inside of me. And what God makes, it is very good. Yes, it is. He did it on purpose and with a purpose. You understand? He did it with a purpose and on purpose. And although, you know, I understand, I'm not naive to the fact that even in the history of that, some of it isn't very good. It isn't. But this is where God took me. He said, I can take what was meant for evil and turn it around for your good. Yes, he can. You see, there was no truth in what I had come to believe. And my realization was that I needed Jesus. I needed Jesus to come in and transform and change my heart. I went to a place of repentance. And I said, God, I don't want this place to hinder me from walking out kingdom purpose for you. And so what I had to do is not just repent, but you know what else I had to do? I had to be intentional. I said, racism is intentional. So it's not enough for us just to pray. We got to put some action behind that prayer. So what did I do? Well, honestly, you all, I started putting myself in places that was unfamiliar. I began to surround myself with other cultures of people. I began to look for a church that I imagined looked like the kingdom of heaven. And I ended up here at Miami Vineyard. Now, I love my black church. I love the black church. But I was on a journey. I was on an intentional journey. So what did I do also? I would go out to lunch. I would enjoy all of the little cultural, different cultural foods. Let me tell you, can I tell y'all thank you? My taste buds say thank you so much. I had that adventure in all of those different foods. Now, I still love my collard greens and cornbread. But let me tell you, just to have those other foods, it just nourishes me and it makes me feel good. And then the other thing that I did, when I came to this church, I would go. I was invited by Pastor Kevin. I was invited by Christina. And our families would get together and have dinner and play games. And it was so much fun. And what I marveled at is that they saw me. It's important that we see each other's differences. But it's so important that we celebrate them and we celebrate our commonalities. And that's what happened when I placed myself in those situations. And then I would put myself in spaces where different languages were being spoken. They're beautiful. I can't speak them. No matter how long I sat, my tongue just wouldn't do that. But I still appreciate it. I love it. I love the rhythm of the Spanish language. I've been praying and asking God to loosen this up right here because I want to do it. But it didn't happen yet. But I just want to tell you, I did something else that I thought was very courageous. I went and sat at a hair salon, and I had twice. I had a beautician do my hair that didn't look like me. That was a real adventure. Now, I'll tell you what. All of my adventures didn't end up the way I thought they would. But they were good. I mean, I came out with my hair looking a way I had never seen it before, but it was still good. But I had a mission. I wanted God to change my heart. And I am still on this journey. See, Jesus said that he came to give us life and that he would give it to us in its fullness. Well, I want it. I want this life. I want my life to be better. And you know what? It actually really is. Because, see, I have come to love my Latino, my Hispanic, Filipino, Asian, Caribbean, Indian, Caucasian, African, and black brothers and sisters. I have come to love you and love you for real. See, my relational and cultural intelligence is getting better. And it's getting better because of all of you. It's getting better to the point that, you know what now? What has become a part of my life? I don't just have to drink coffee. Mm-mm. I can go and sit and have me a cafecito. Yes, I can. And then I discovered this other dish called flan. Whoa! The secret's out. It's really good. And then on Easter, y'all, I had a young Jamaican man here. He came and brought me some bun and cheese. Woo! And then I have a Filipino family. I have one of them, I call her Mama Cora. And she makes me every once in a while, I get to have some pancit. If y'all haven't had that, you better try it out. And then my Haitian family who has embraced me. Every so often, Marie Carmel, she'll send me some jonjon. Oh, y'all better try that rice. It's good. But you know what? All of these things are beautiful. God surrounds us with all of this beauty, the rhythms of music, all the different varieties. And this is what the scripture says. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among members so that all the members care for each other. We are here to care for one another, to lift each other up, to celebrate our differences and our commonalities. We need to start agreeing with God that what is most important, the biggest dot that we should carry, is that all of us are made in His likeness and in His image. That is the bigger dot. I want you to know that there is beauty and purpose in each and every one of us. Now, there's another word I want to share with you. This word is gracist. This is what I'm asking you today to decide to become. A gracist is a person who looks for opportunities and enters into these places with an open heart, ready to extend grace fully. You are going away, you're going around seizing opportunities to be a voice for the marginalized. And you're doing it not just to say that you're doing it, but you're doing it because it's in your heart to do it. Yes. I'm asking you to join me in being a gracist. Point number two, graces offer forgiveness, dignity, and honor. We see in this verse that the woman says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me?" A Samaritan woman. She asked him that. She said, because Jews do not associate with Samaritans. This Samaritan woman knew her dots. And can I tell you that people already know their dots? But what are they looking for? They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for you to value them. They know their stuff. And Jesus knew her stuff. He knew her dots. He knew, but he knew her value. He knew her worth. And it was because of her ethnicity, what it had said to her. And it was because of her gender. And it was because of her sin. He didn't say that what she was doing was okay. But he came to meet her where she was. And just let me take a little step back. Gracism doesn't give permission or says that these places where people are discriminated, where people are ostracized, where whole communities are polarized, gracism doesn't say that's okay. But gracism on purpose confronts it. And it confronts it with the love of Jesus. It confronts it with grace. And so Jesus wasn't saying that what she had been doing was okay. But what Jesus did was he offered her forgiveness. He gave her dignity and he gave her honor. Can we be imitators of God by living as gracist, offering love where there is hate, bringing hope to the hopeless, lifting up those who have been torn down? Can we bring value to those who have been devalued? Being a gracist involves risk. It requires that you go into places that you may have never gone before. It's a risk. It requires that you understand that you might get offended, but you gotta be willing to be there. See, I would be lying to you if I've told you that this change of life for me has been easy. No, it hasn't, but it's so worth it. I've had people call me different names. I've been called an Oreo, Gia, and I've been called a sellout. A sellout, yes. But God had to work with me there. I've been called many other things, but these two, they just kind of stuck with me. And so the Lord had to show me how to deal with it, how to see it differently. So this is what I did, y'all. When they called me Oreo, well, what I remember, Oreo's a pretty good cookie, ain't it? Right? It tastes good. And then when I was called a sellout means you forgot who you are. And so I thought about it and I said, I'm not a sellout. But I'm sold out to Jesus. So you got to be willing to take the risk. But can I assure you that God will be with you in that place? And this is what Philippians 2 says. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a hand. Jesus had to be there. And he's here today to meet us. Where are your dots? Are you ready to give them to Jesus? Jesus says to us that he is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. I pray that you will really lean into this message. I have been praying all week that you would lean and you would listen. Listen for God. What is it that he wants to say to you? And then I want you to look for these opportunities that God will present for you to walk into and be gracist. But I also want to encourage you. As I said, I'm not here to point fingers. But as one who has been redeemed, I want to encourage you to confess. Confess to the Savior where you are. And allow him to do what only he can do in your heart. He is here. And his intention was to meet you here today. Let us pray. Oh God, I thank you. You are so gracious. And I'm so glad that you didn't turn away from me, but you turned towards me. And God, I pray that everyone that is here will know that you will do the same for them. And God, I ask that you would make us an instrument of your peace. That God, where there is hatred, that we would sow love. God, where there is injury, when we are offended, that we would offer pardon. Father, I pray that where there is doubt, we would sow seeds of faith. Father God, I pray that where there is despair, that we will be willing to offer hope. And Lord God, where there is darkness, let us remember that you have said that we are the children of light. And Father, where there is sadness, I pray that we would be willing to sit with that person and offer them joy. Do what only you can do, Lord, in us. And maybe you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, today is the day. And all you simply have to do is say, Lord Jesus, come and be my Savior. Live in me and live through me. I need you, Jesus. Be Lord and Savior of my life. Please don't miss this opportunity. And so, Father God, we surrender this all to you. Work in us, Jesus, and show us how to lift each other up. This I pray only in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.